Hey friends, this is Chrissy Thomas here with another Mom Mentor. Have you ever been bullied? I don't think anyone ever escapes childhood completely unscathed by it, and I never had to deal with intense bullying at school, but there were some kids that picked on me, and I have distinct memories of some times in junior high that kids said some really mean words, and those words still ring through my mind on occasion. So unfortunately, bullying did not go away after I was in school in the 1990s. And Rachel Rector is here today to talk with me about this. So Rachel Rector brings 14 years of experience as an educator advocating for students from preschool all the way to 12th grade across three states, and just released a book called Behind the Hidden Doors, and it's about bullying. Thanks for joining us today, Rachel.
Yes, it's an honor. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell me a little bit about your story and how you ended up writing on this topic? It doesn't sound like it was a very happy story.
Yeah. So at the time before I started writing this, our daughter in fourth grade was bullied, not by one child, but two children in a Christian private school. And so I didn't have all the resources. So I just kind of had to figure it out as I went. I felt like I was drowning a lot of the time. You will see in the book that when you start advocating for a child, you find out who your true friends are and who's going to stay with you for the ride. And so I created this book not only out of our story with our daughter, but also as a teacher, because sometimes I felt like as a teacher, my hands were tied. There was so much more that I knew I could be doing, but I could not because of the position I was in. So I created this book to be a guidebook for families that are walking through bullying, for counselors who need an added resource to hand off to their client and the parents, also for educators and administrators, because I have my master's degree all the way in multiple fields in teaching, and I never once had any training on bullying other than them saying, just make sure it doesn't happen. And so this is for everybody that has a child, and even for the one that does not have a child in their life, there's multiple chapters inside of here that you can use in your adult life if you are being bullied or have been in the past and that trauma is coming back up. So it's a guide. It takes you from figuring out how the child or self is being bullied all the way to the healing process.
Wow. So Behind the Hidden Doors, what does that mean? Tell me, why did you call it that?
Yeah, so good question. When I went to an author retreat and we sat down and they kind of told us to think about a theme throughout your book. And I really couldn't. It was actually in the time of sitting down with other authors that they're like, have you ever thought about this? Because so many times when it comes to bullying, everything's swept under the rug and it tries to stay in the darkness. And so the thought was, opening the doors and shining the light into those places so it's no longer taboo, but instead it's commonplace. And we have strategies for not only the child and their family, but for teachers and administrators and CEOs and wherever a leader goes.
Oh, that's so good. And, you know, it's surprising to me that you said as a teacher, you were only just ever told, you know, just make sure it doesn't happen, but then not given anything. Because sometimes you wonder, like, why aren't the teachers doing anything? But realistically, what can the teachers do? And my kids and I just read, it was like the most extreme form of bullying we read The Silver Chair by C.S. Lewis. And in it, at the very beginning, the two main characters are being like extremely bullied. And then at the end, the character from Narnia comes and helps them like beat up the kids that were the bullies with like the flats of their swords and a riding crop. And I thought, well, this was clearly written in the 50s, but so teachers can't do that. You can't get out there with a riding crop and the flat of your sword, nor would we want you to.
Of course.
But so thank you for creating something that helps parents and teachers with that. So let's talk a little bit about your own story. How did you recognize that your child was being bullied? Because I'm not sure that would always be obvious.
Yeah. So for our daughter, she usually was an open book so much as a kid that she would tattle on herself at home if she was doing something wrong. And so we started noticing a big shift in behavior and emotions. So she would go to high emotions. So very angry, which was not common for her, or very, very sad. That was one warning sign for us. Another thing was, when I would pick her up from school, she no longer would tell me what went on in the day. She just wanted to go back to her room, get away from it all. And that was not her. Like I said, she always wanted to share everything and then more. Also, she was kind of going back to a lot of behavior that you see at mostly like a toddler or 2-year-old. And she was exploding, and she was exploding on her younger brothers, may that be verbally or physically. And so it was a big red flag. The final piece for me was I was trying to get everybody ready for bed, and she screamed at the top of their lungs, "Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm the worst person alive. I wish I wasn't alive." And that was my big, like, something is going on. I don't know what it is, but I got to get to the bottom of this. And so that and multiple other things, such as she just really wasn't eating. And she's always been a good eater, a very healthy eater. And she would just sit at the table and just gaze off. And we had no clue what was going on in her mind. So those are more the extreme ones. There were other little ones along the way.
Wow, that's super interesting that she was just like imbibing these messages that these kids were, even if they weren't, I don't know if they were intentionally giving them to her, or she was just getting them because of the way they were treating her. But that's really sad. I almost, like, I teared up there when you were talking about that, like to see the kind of changes in our children. And so the broad idea that I got from you was that your daughter was changing in negative mm-hmm. ways. It wasn't like growing up kind of changing, although some of them you might think, oh, well, she's just growing up. She doesn't want to talk to me so much anymore. But these other things that you were seeing, the exploding at her brothers, the words that she was saying, the stopping eating, that is an indication definitely that something is wrong. But how did you figure out what it was? Because I remember taking in like an abuse prevention class that those are some of the same kind of things that you look for when a child is being abused. Is mm-hmm. like in many ways, I guess she is being abused, not by an adult.
Yeah.
So how did you figure out what the problem was?
Yeah. So it took a lot of just being a detective. That's what I talk a lot in the book is you have to be a detective. You have to get in there. And so the way that I got in there, and it's a tool that I share inside of the book, is that it's called bedtime talks. And so a lot of children, like their parent to sit with them at night, to lay with them at night, or while they're brushing their teeth, just be with them. And so it was in those times, it started off with, I would just lay by her at bedtime. And I didn't say anything. I didn't ask any questions. I just waited for her to open up. And it was in those times that she slowly started peeling back that onion and sharing what was going on. Because in one of my favorite chapters that I wrote in this book, it goes into the child's mind. What we don't see is into their mind. And what I wasn't seeing is that there was all this behavior at home, surface level, which we call the emotional iceberg. But underneath, there was so much more that we couldn't see because she had been suppressing it down. We call it inside of the book, and also in the counseling field, they call it an internal tornado. And so everything is just like a tornado. Everything is building up. And for her, eventually, it just came out. And so I had to dig deeper. I was seeing as a parent and disciplining as a parent that surface level behavior, but I was missing so much until she opened up. And what I learned is I could not ask a ton of questions. I had to ask open-ended questions that would get her to share about her day. And then eventually she would just lay it out for me.
Wow. That takes so much wisdom and also a lot of grace, because I can imagine that as a parent, it would be easy just to react back. Well, fine. You don't want to talk to me. I'm not going to talk to you. Like, we as parents sometimes act like children. So we have to really kind of up the ante there and ask God for more wisdom and more grace and more patience with our children who are acting in ways when we just want to discipline them. Mm-hmm. But we have to realize and recognize there's something else going on, and we're going to need the patience to dig and to figure mm-hmm. out what's going on in that tornado. Wow. Are there any other indicators that we could look for in our own kids that maybe you didn't share because they weren't happening in your daughter, but they might be common in other kids?
Yeah. So some of the like extreme ones are if you're somebody that has certain chores in your house. So in our home, how we do it, I have four children, certain ones like certain things. So I have a little guy that he loves taking out the trash. That's his thing every day. And so if it's common, if you don't have chores in your house, this isn't fitting, but if they don't want to do it anymore. And another very extreme thing is not being able to do simple tasks that are involuntary. So brushing their teeth, brushing their hair, picking out clothes for school. Those are some of the more very extreme. And those are the ones that I in the book share. That's when you really need to seek out a professional because they no longer are even able to function involuntarily. And so it's suppressed so much inside. So the not wanting to eat, the not wanting to do things that they love. So if your child loved going outside after school and playing basketball and they no longer even want to look at a basketball, that's a sign, unless they're sick, of course. And we dive into that in that it, you want to remember how they were before, because some of these things like the toddler stage, they go through picky stages and not wanting to eat. So you can't just take that and say, oh my goodness, they're being bullied. You have to look and stack them, of course. And then just not even remembering what they like to do. If they're really losing who they are, as long as they're not in that adolescent stage, sometimes that adolescent stage, they're changing so much and they are changing and they're wanting to give up some things and pick up some other things. But if they cannot tell you what they love to do, or they don't want to be a part of the family, or especially going and being with their best friends, that's another sign.
Well, yeah, that makes sense, because at the teenager stage, I've noticed that there are some behaviors that they're doing even without being bullied, like they blow up more often, or mm-hmm. So you definitely have to kind of hold those hand in hand. But no matter what, we do want to be gentle with our kids, and we want to still have those conversations with them and have a good relationship. So even the things that you were talking about, like laying and sitting with your kid, even if they're not being bullied, you can still go and do that. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to harm anyone by thinking, maybe something is wrong, let me go and listen to my child.
Right.
So it's okay to go there. We just don't want to be obsessing about worst case scenarios. So what was the hardest one of these doors to walk through for your child and you as her advocate?
For both of us, one of them was the counseling door. And so for me, like I shared, I had a master's degree in teaching. I felt like I should be able to fix all of this. I should know what I'm doing. I have a degree in early childhood. I have a degree in this. And so I felt like, man, I should be able to fix it. But when I was seeing those extreme behaviors, like I shared, I knew that I no longer could help. I no longer knew how to give her a tool that would help her come out on the other side. And so for both of us, especially my daughter, it was the counseling office, because as my daughter shares in the afterword, she was so nervous that people were going to look at her differently if they found out she went to a counselor. She felt shame. She felt alone. And so when she first initially went through, that was her thought. What is this person going to think of me? Because she was internalizing everything that was happening to her. She was getting physically bullied. She was getting psychologically bullied. And she was getting emotionally bullied by two children. And so she started believing that as truth because it happened to her every single day. And so she was so nervous to go in. But when you read the afterword, she'll share in her own words, that's the thing that she is most grateful for to her dad and I, that we actually found her a Christian counselor that could help her get those emotions out and get those feelings out. And then for me, the hardest one solo was walking through the administrative door, because I'm a teacher. And so I had to put my pride aside as a teacher and them seeing me in a different light and having to advocate, because not only were they a Christian school, but they were also had teachers. And so I felt like I walked in the door and I was like, oh no, here she comes again. And I didn't want to be seen as a know-it-all. I wanted to be seen as an advocate. But it was also really challenging for me, because I knew what needed to be done and it wouldn't get done. They just kept preaching grace upon grace upon grace. And I had to go to the law and to what I knew as a parent and a teacher and say, yes, for a 5-year-old, I do believe in grace and I do believe in discipleship, but this is a fourth grader who knows better. She even says that, and she's continuing to do this. And so it was hard because it just kept feeling like, you know, I would pray and I would pray and I would pray, but I was not being heard at all. And so that was super frustrating because there was easy proactive things they could do in the school, such as just having a teacher close by at recess, or having the PE teacher know, hey, don't group those two together because that child is going to psychologically bully her. Mm-hmm. And so that was my hardest door that I walked through by myself, was being that advocate and trying to make sure that I came in factual and not set on my emotions as I came in to share with the administrator.
Yeah, I could imagine that would be really hard, especially at a Christian school. Because like you were saying, like, we want to give grace, but there also has to be discipline. And because mm-hmm. you're just giving grace to the bullies all the time, then you have the children who are, what did you call them? You didn't call them victims in your book. You called, survivors.
Survivors.
The survivors are never getting their needs heard or their mm-hmm. needs met either. And so we can't do that. So that is such a hard line to walk. Even if you weren't a teacher, that would still be hard in any kind of school. Oh, wow. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You had mentioned that she was starting to kind of just believe these lies. So do you have any suggestions as to how kids can replace these lies that they're starting to believe when they're being bullied and reclaim their identity?
Yes. So we in one of the chapters, we go into finding that lie. So you figure out what the lie is, and then you try to figure out where is that lie coming from? Is it coming from a child? Is it coming from an adult? So you're excavating that out. Then you pair it with scripture. And so on my website, I offer free to anybody that's listening. You can go there. They're scripture affirmation cards, but I say it's not only believing the affirmation of I am strong or I am smart, whatever is countering the lie that they've internalized, but it's pairing it with a scripture that goes with it so that they're, because scripture is alive, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's breathing life back into them. So I always say you pair it with that scripture. We can't tackle all the lies at once. That's just overwhelming. And it took time to internalize that. So you pick the strongest one that they've believed. And so it could be, I'm not enough. And so pairing it with, I am enough. And then diving into scripture. And I always say, put it on wherever the child is going to brush the most. Because as women and girls, men and boys, we're going to be brushing our teeth every day. And we're going to be brushing our hair at least one time. Whenever you brush, it will be there visually. So at first, they just need to read it. Because they have deep down believed that lie for way too long. They need to see the truth. Then after they've got in that process of seeing it and reading it, then they need to declare it and say it out loud. That's what makes it alive. And they are putting it not only in their mind, but eventually their heart and their soul. And then after that process, they can write it out, because all of those things is how our body internalizes it. And there's a rewiring that has to go. If you go to the deepest scientific level, there has to be a rewiring in their brain for that lie to come out and that truth to come in. And so that's what I challenge them to do. And I challenge you to do is to do that. And that's not only for children. That's also for adults. Like, for example, for me, I am practicing Ephesians 1 right now about being chosen in my season. And so I have that up in my bathroom. And so that is the way of getting that lie out. Because my daughter, if you go into the attic, the inner child's mind chapter, I kind of give, like, if you think of the movie Inside Out 2, I kind mm-hmm. of give like a visual of that, of what's swirling around in the mind. And we have to uproot that and get that lie out so that the truth can go down deep and root itself in. Mm-hmm. So it's saying the affirmation, but it's pairing it with scripture that actually breathes that back into their life.
Oh, that is beautiful. That reminds me of a class that I often teach about blessing your child. And in scripture, it talks about, you know, choosing life. And I can't remember I teach this class often, but I didn't have it on my brain right now. But it talked about this visual in Deuteronomy of this of water coming down. And when you curse someone with your words or through bullying, it's like you're damming up that life-giving mm-hmm. flow of water. And in order to let that life-giving flow of water flow back into your life again, you have to remove those rocks. And that's exactly what you're doing. And it's through blessing your child through scripture-based blessings. It's through these repeated reminders that, yes, you are beloved. Yes, you are chosen through scripture, that pulls out those, that dam. It dismantles it so that our children can feel loved and blessed again.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with that because I actually did learn that from you. And so on our way to school every day, that's another way to take that exact same scripture and bless it over them. If you're driving them, walking them, if they're riding the bus, you can do it before. And that's what we do every morning. And they have certain things, each of my children, that they say out loud as we're praying as a blessing over them as they're launching off to school. And even when we homeschooled for a season, we still needed to do it because they were learning that mom is teacher in this moment and their siblings were classmates. And so there was more, as you probably know, homeschooling, there can be some of that, and you don't want bullying in your home either. And so getting them to remember that truth, not only about themselves, but the people that they are using their words to and for and against.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good point that bullying can actually happen in your home as well. I have a friend who's dealing with that right now with her adult brother. She's an adult, he's an adult, and he is just a downright bully. And it's extra hard when it's in your home and you can't escape your family.
Mm-hmm.
So hard. So yeah, we definitely have to be aware of those dynamics among our children as well. So Rachel, we're going to wrap it up here, but before we go, can you just remind us of the name of your book and where we can find you in your book and these affirmations as well?
Yes. So it's called Behind the Hidden Doors, Bullying, Hope, and Identity, and it can be found on Amazon. The devil did not want this to come out. So currently, if you are watching this live, it currently is actually even listed as Behind Hidden Doors because it was trying to get hidden. But it is on Amazon, and that's where you will find it right now. Eventually it'll come out to the bookstores, and then you can connect with me. My website is beautifuljoyrachel.com. because rachelrector.com is actually a photographer. So beautifuljoyrachel.com, and also on Instagram, I'm beautifuljoyrachel, or on Facebook, I'm just Rachel Rector. So you can find me there. Yeah. And on the website, like I said, is those affirmation cards. I would love to bless you and your family or your practice or even in your classroom with that truth.
Fantastic. And I'll make sure I link to those in the description so people don't have to find them on their own.
Perfect.
That's great. Rachel, would you mind praying for us as parents? It's mostly parents who are going to be watching this, mostly moms, actually, parents who are trying to be aware of what's going on in our kids' lives and want to help our kids walk through these seasons well. Would you pray for us?
Yes, I'd be honored to go before him. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the listeners that are on the other side. I pray for the mamas, the dads, the caregivers, Lord Jesus, that they just feel so knee deep and not knowing the next step to take. I just pray, Lord, that this book will just be a light and a path for them as they seek you and they seek scripture and they seek the strategies inside of here that will bring hope back to their child and hope back to their family, and help them help their child reclaim identity and victory as the child of God that they have been called even before they entered this world. I just thank you so much for the hope and the identity that will come on the other side, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that you will just free the captives that are knee deep in bullying, Lord Jesus. But I also lift up the children that are choosing to bully. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that they will find their worth and they will find their identity so it will stop, and so that they can do good instead of bad, and we all can be a light. I just pray the light will shine deeply in the dark places, Lord, and that hope will be found again, which ultimately is you, Lord Jesus. And we pray in your holy and precious name, the name of Jesus. Amen.